Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
Father, bless our hearts. Transform our lives. Pour out your heart to us. Let your thoughts be made known to us. We'll never remain the same. In the name of Jesus. Celebrate the worship team with me. And then let's celebrate Pastor Lois James. We celebrate you greatly, ma. Thank you so much for all you do. Can you celebrate yourself? Is that how you celebrate yourself? And then please celebrate your neighbor and be seated in God's presence. Celebrate your neighbor. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Media, are you ready for me? Get. All right. Glory to God. All right, so we are putting together a curriculum for the Building Church Leadership Academy, and we'll need a number of information to be able to help us draw out a very solid world-class curriculum. So what we need you to do is to impute this into your browser, bit.ly/bclais. You see a number of questions there. If you're a workforce, I think the link must have been shared to you, but as at the last time I checked, nobody has filled that form yet. So I know it's very long. It will take like 5 to 7 minutes of your time. So if you're already on the channel, I think you should be able to access the link directly. But for those that are not there, this is very direct for you. Just bit.ly/bclais. So just fill that survey. It will really go a long way to help us in drawing a very robust teaching curriculum for BCLA. Glory to God. Don't worry, in course of the teaching, you will understand, for those that register, some of the things they stand to gain for registering. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Am I still in the Building Church? Alright, so if this is your first time, you are welcome to the Building Church. This is the camp of the mighty. This is the camp of the doings of God. There is never a time God is not doing something in our midst. And your own life cannot be an exception. God is set to beautify your life. My name is Jeremiah James, and co-leading with me at the Building Church is my beautiful wife, Pastor Lois James. And we have one vision. Our vision is to build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life, to live a life of impact and societal transformation. The Bible says in Luke 12, verse 15b, it says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. What it implies is that what a man has does not define the man. It's what the man does with what he has. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 20, verse 35b, the Bible says, in the word of Jesus himself, he says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So the definition of a man's life is not by what he has, but by what is given. And that is why in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible showed us, he said, let your light so much shine before men. That means you already have the light. He said, let your light so much shine before men that they will see your good deeds, and glorify your Father that is in heaven. But in verse 13 of it, he said, you are the salt of the head. You are the salt of the head. Then when you go to verse 14, he said, you are the light of the world. Verse 15 rather, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. What it implies is that if you are lighted, then you have to be on your stand. Yes, you have to be on your stand. I'm praying for you that in the name of Jesus, your life will be defined by what you give out, not just by the abundance of what you possess. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And then our core values actually define us. We have nine of them. Nine of them: spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love, work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. So every time we meet, these are the things that give us the compass of our movement. That is, we move along the line of spiritual growth. We move along the line of service and impact. We move along the line of personal development. And like you already know, this month has been a very robust month. We have been considering the subject of honor, that is, honor towards God on Sundays, and then what, love and respect, that is, honor towards men, principles, right? Alright, so our pillars, our foundational pillars, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayers, and reaching out. Forwards plus giving. Somebody say giving. Somebody say giving. Somebody say giving. Glory to God. So force plus giving. What it implies is that our foundational pillars, the things upon which we stand, the pillars that are holding the leg of the ministry, the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 127 verse 1, the Bible showed us, he said, unless the Lord build a house, the laborers labor in vain. He said, unless the Lord watch over a city, the watchmen stand watch in vain. And like I've often said, I said, the Holy Spirit is the God person that is on it. Yes, it's the God person that is on it. Jesus is in heaven, God the Father in heaven, and then the person that we are enjoying his ministry and his dispensation this time is the Holy Spirit. Somebody said the Holy Spirit. And that is why the Holy Spirit is needed as one of our foundational pillars for our building. And not only that, the Bible showed us in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus was looking for a witness upon the earth, he said, who did men say the Son of Man is? He said, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets. He said, but you, who do you say I am? He said, Peter now said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of my Father that is in heaven. So, on the strength of that, Jesus now said, I am going to build my church on this rock. On this rock, it does not mean on Peter. On this rock means on this revelation. And what revelation? The revelation that the Spirit of his Father gave. So that means that you cannot build anything without the Spirit of the Father. You can't build anything without the Spirit of the Father. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this, but the Spirit of my Father that is in heaven. And I said, since when this thing has not been revealed, on the strength of what the Spirit of God can build, I am going to build my church. And you know the kind of church is building? The church that the gate of hell cannot prevail over. For you to build anything that will last, it has to be revealed to you by the Spirit of the Father too. Yes, that is why the Spirit of the Father is one of our foundational pillars. The Word of God is another. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 from verse 24 to 27, the Bible showed us, he said, anyone who hears this word of mine and put it to practice, he says, like a wise man that built his house on a solid rock. And I say, every person that listens to the word, we build. Yes. But the quality of what they build will be tested by the wind. So a wise man will build. Hearing the word is like building. As you are seated here now, you are building, whether you are conscious of it or not. But when you leave this place, that is when what you build will be tested on the strength of foolishness or wisdom. Every time you come to church is for you to look for what to go and practice. Not just to hear the word. Yes, hearing the word is part of it. And that is why in James chapter 1 verse 22, the Bible says what? He said, you shall not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. He said, do what it says. Do what it says. Say, I'm a doer of the word. I'm a doer of the word. Then prayers. The Bible shows, in fact, when you check the book of the same Acts of Apostles, I think Acts of Apostles, the Bible was showing us there, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So the word builds. The word builds. The word builds. So you can be commended to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. He said, brethren, yes, 20:32. He said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of grace, which is able to build you up. Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And then if you check Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that we know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of our glorious inheritance in the saints. The riches of our glorious inheritance in the saints. So what it implies is that without the word, we don't even know what belongs to us. Yeah, we can't be built solidly. And that is why, like Kenneth again, we always admonish. He said the first thing you should do as a believer after you give a life to Christ is to go and look for order in Christ. Everywhere in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. And like I said, if you are in Nigeria, you are called a Nigerian. If you are in Christ, you are a Christian. That means that all the effect of what is happening in Nigeria becomes your identity. But if you are in Christ, you are a Christian. Because you can stay in Christ, just like you are staying in Nigeria. The economy of Christ cannot be on Caleb. Hallelujah. And then prayers. Jude 20, Amplified Translation. Jude 20. He said, and you, beloved, build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith. He said, make progress. Rise higher and higher like an edifice. And I have said it severally. And every edifice is a tall building. Then you are now rising higher and higher again. That is a lot. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 4. Amplified Translation rather. It said, and he that speak in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. Edifies and improves himself. The word edify simply means to construct actually. Yeah. That means that when you pray in the language of the Spirit, you construct yourself. And good news. Tomorrow, next tomorrow and Saturday, we are going to be having word and prayer retreat. You cannot say you are a member of the building church and you are not building yourself in prayer. And that's why I said, we cannot say we are word people and we are prayer people. No. We are breathe in, breathe out people. That is, we are word and prayer people. Yes, we are not going to choose one and leave the other. Glory to God. And then reaching out. The whole essence of why Jesus came is so we can save a generation. Yes. You are wicked if people are perishing and there is a solution and you are not giving them. Hope you know that no matter how many billions get saved, the blood of Jesus cannot finish. I say, don't pity the blood of Jesus. Don't pity the blood. The blood has been paid for. So you have to reach out. Preach to your neighbor. Say, reach out. Say, reach out. So if this is your first time, this is the building church. You are powerfully welcome to the building church. All right. So I think this is it. I was thinking that we still have next week Wednesday. But no, that. This is the last Wednesday. I was opportune to see the announcement before you people. So when they said the announcement that this is last Wednesday, oh, you see, I'll spoil the announcement. That this is the last Wednesday. So that's when it dawned on me that, let me start bringing the teaching to a close. Because I thought that there are still many other things to talk about. Hallelujah. All right, so if you were here last week, I continue on the law of relationship, right? And then when I continued, I make reference to five valid questions you must ask as a way of auditing your relationship. What are those questions? Number one, proper management. Who are my divine connection? This is in number next. Number next. Who is I immortal? Number next. And number next. All right. Glory to God. So those are powerful questions that you need to ask for you to be able to audit properly your relationship. That being said, and I said that relationship can categorize into five, right? Number one is what? And I say is the entry point of every relationship. Everyone that is here, including my wife, I met her for the first time one day. Including my parents. We met at the hospital. I'm telling you. Then all of a sudden, they carry me home down for them. I'm there. So, that, and all of you know, it's only me. All of you. You met your parents at the hospital. Oh, no. He told me, he was at the hospital. They say, this is your child. I say, yes. Yeah. Then you carry her. Then you hold her. Then as time begins to go on, you begin to hear their voice. Even while you are still a child. Although some of you cannot remember, but I do. I'm just joking. Before I say, Omar Bamilele, you. Glory to God. So you get, then you begin to recognize their voice. Then all of a sudden, have you seen children that you carry? And then they look at you. And then if some of you have done bad in your previous life, the child begins to cry. Release me. Then you are wondering, like, are you holding nail? Because the child knew you by the spirit. I'm just joking. In case you're on that table, don't allow the devil use that against you. I'm just joking. But if you have been doing evil, repent. Children can know. Glory to God. So then the child look at you and I've been seeing this face. I remember one day when a lion has always seen me and my wife inside the bedroom. Inside the bedroom, she knows that there are only two people that are always inside this bedroom. Then one day, light came. And the lion cannot even speak. At that time, our recognition system has not even been heightened. Then light just entered the room. You could see the reaction that, who is this person? So a lion was just looking at light throughout. And you know children, they will talk. Light said, and she's looking at me. I said, yes, she has to look at you because you are strange. You know, you're a stranger. She's meeting you. This is the entry point where the two of you are meeting. And she has never seen another figure here, apart from angelic beings. In this same room, that she has never seen any person enter here. How come? What are you doing here? What are you doing in this place? So, well, I'm saying this to say that you are going to meet every person in your life first as a stranger. That is the entry point of any relationship. It is how you behave in that place that determines where the other four are going to be. And I used to say it. I say favor as an entry point. Yes. Take for instance, somebody can just hope you know that the person that wants to help you is your surname that will first spoil sometimes. That might be the entry point. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Olukwitan. Paul. He said, Olupai. He said, no, sir. Olupitan. He said, Olupi. He said, no, sir. It's Olupitan. Then Olu. He said, Esorayin. You are because, I be FKing. And Esorayin. I say, Olupitan. If you don't know how to pronounce it, why are you modeling my father? It's for your entry point. I remember Apostle was said, please be seated. If I remember the story correctly, that I was in the bank. And then somebody came, and I don't know, maybe the person was tapping him or something. And then he was just wondering, what is happening? Then the person was at the end of the day, there was a queue. At the end of the day, the person made sure he was not on the queue. He will have spoiled the entry point. Some of you, especially sisters, that have track record of being hacked out. Then all of a sudden, your destiny helper is trying to call you. That hello, and say, hey, that's how you will be doing. You'll be carrying two legs. He said, can't you see? No, can't you see? Then Ojo Akiri. For the first time, you now know that you have reversed. No, sir. Sorry, sir. I just don't know. The truth of the matter is, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible showed us, he said we should be careful how we treat people, because some has entertained angels without knowing. Hebrews 13 from verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 13. He said, do not forget to entertain strangers. It's the entry point. The general relationship is the entry point for every kind of relationship. I remember a story that Reverend Sam shared beautifully well. He said there was a multi-million job they want to give somebody. And then the CEO, the person that was supposed to give the job out, pretended to be maybe a normal person. And then for those of you that watch Nollywood, as she married Gatema Abi, is on YouTube. For those of you that don't know, I don't even know if a film like that exists, but I'm sure, I trust Nollywood. They will not disappoint my prophecy. There are some things that you can prophetically say, even when you're not sure, with Nollywood, and it will happen. It will be in a movie. I'm telling you. So the man was sitting, but this one was in life, according to Reverend Sam. So the man was sitting somewhere. My wife is looking at me with all admiration. I love you too, babe. He's like, see, I'm some bobo. Anointed. Steez. Composure. Drip. I love you sincerely. I just discovered. Glory to God. So it was like he was sitting at the back and he was observing it. The guy passed almost every exam. And then the man was like, we have found the person that will take the job. But you know, village people. So there is this thing they call buffet. No, it's not even buffet. I can't remember the name Reverend Sam called it. That you are going to go and order your food and pay yourself. You pay yourself. You have the money, you pay yourself. So the CEO was sitting somewhere and still observing that I have found the person that will take the contract. This person is the one. Yeah, I found him. Please visit it. So that's how this guy now started going. Kim, Kim. And then he looked to the right, looked to the left, and saw one all these. Ecclesia, what's the name of this thing? Ecclesias, all these small, small, butterish kind of sweets. Look to the right, look to the left, look everywhere, and discover that nobody saw what he was doing. And carry that one. Just that one small ecclesia. You see, when village people mean your business, and carry it and squeeze it inside his pocket. Is that not Pastor Victor? Please, let me bring him to the front. Please. The building church, can we celebrate Pastor Victor? No, bring him to the front, please. Emmys, is that how we celebrate here? Thank you so much. Glory to God. Please let me sit here. And quickly took it inside his pocket. And then, do you know what? When he got to where he was supposed to pay, he paid for every other thing. Apart from that one. Multi-million. I know. If you are faithful in small, you will also be faithful in little. If you are cheap in small, you will be cheap in big. That's how you miss the opportunity. Every relationship in your life will start at a stranger level. there's an entry point. Don't forget, the trajectory of that relationship starts as general. At general, all of us are going to meet as strangers. But the Bible gave us an invite that entertains strangers. He said, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. If you check Romans chapter 12. Let me look at that scripture. Romans chapter 12 verse 13. Let me see Romans 12 13. Yes. Start from 11 actually. He said, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Next verse. He said, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Next verse. He said, share with God's people who are in need. Practice. Wait. Most times, we are too used to scriptures. We don't settle down. The Bible did not say, be auspicious. The Bible said you should practice it. You know something they call teaching practice? The school believe that is the first time you are doing it. Oh, you don't know. I think they do it in 300 level, right? So they send you to go and practice teaching. So they believe that is the first time. So the Bible is not saying that you are born like that. The Bible says you should practice it until it become you. Like somebody humorously said one time somebody was trying to greet somebody for his hospitality. And he said, thank you so much for your kindness and for hospitalizing us. Yeah. I said, may you not be hospitalized. That means that the person has so much taking good care of you, even your grammar is affected. You have hurt too much. He said, practice hospitality. Now, next verse very quickly. 14. Verse 14, please. He said, bless those who persecute you. Next verse. 15. Rejoice with those. Next verse. Peacock. Okay, lie. He said, live in harmony with everyone. Do not be proud. And be willing to associate with people of low position. That's why we call it love and respect. We say when it comes to humans, you will not be able to honor somebody you don't love. You can't. You are always condescending. You are a parasite in relationship, transactional. What is there for me? Listen to me. Not until your giving has passed with this guy. Take for instance now. Hope you know some of you. The reason why you are partnering with somebody's vision now is because you want to tell him later that you were there for him when he was nobody. If your relationship and help has not left that level, you don't understand love. If you are always transactional, take for instance now, whether you guys know, whether you pray for Pastor Me or not, it's going to be great. Please be seated. Then, because of that now, sisters, you are not there for him. Especially the fact that I said that he's not in any relationship. You will be shocked the day we announce his wedding. Then you now say he broke your heart. That all the day you are giving him shawarma, did he ask you? And Pastor Me, why are you to collecting shawarma? So some of you are too transactional and calculative in your relationship that you have calculated love out of it. You can't help people without any string attached. And that's why even ladies, I remember when they help ladies and did not collect their number. They say, that is all. I can go now. I don't need your number now. Because now, transaction. Hope you know that most times, sir, because of transactional relationship, most times people are afraid to collect something from people. If you give, you say, I don't have anything to give you. Oh, this thing is free. Oh, because that's how some of you are designed. But it's not a good design. The Bible says, do not be proud. And let me help you. Actually, there's something called pride and pride of life. You see, when it comes to being proud, it's a state of overestimation of oneself based on what one thinks he or she has that others do not. And that's why you see it's difficult for a proud man to be proud, for a poor man to be proud. If a poor man is going to be proud, actually he's going to go with some sense of arrogance. But a poor man's pride, most time, when a poor man is that proud most time, he used to come from the people that are proud because they are rich. I will explain. Don't forget what I define pride, being proud to be. Being proud is an overestimation of yourself above others based on what you have that you think they don't have. So if poor people are supposed to be beggarly because of what you have, that you want them, you want to have a sense of control over them. And then there is a poor man like Mordecai that refuses to feed your pride. You will feel he is proud, and yet he does not have anything. Mm-mm. He self what? He knows himself. So there is no way you will look down on anyone, or you will not be willing to relate with any person until there is pride. Is it not pride that will make you think that because you met your parents at the hospital, and when they carry you home, they carry you to a duplex, that you will now make you think that the people whose parents they also met at the hospital, and they took them to room and parlor, that you think that you are above them? What gave you that definition? What was your contribution? Why are you the one that choose where you are supposed to be born? Your parents contributed almost everything, including your sense, but you throw it away. Okay, that is deep. That is sharp. Pastor, me is even coughing. So that is pride. Pride will not allow you to associate. And that condescending attitude will actually allow many people to fail the test of general relationship. So live in harmony to everyone. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. But people of low position, because you think they are low position. And that's why the Bible says, entertain angels. Because the truth of the matter is, if truly you understand that every man is needed, there are four categories of people, as we saw in Mark 2. In Mark 2 from verse 1 to 5, the Bible showed us that Jesus came back to Capernaum. And when the people heard that he was at home, four men went to carry a paralytic man. He said when they get to the place, the whole place was filled up. They climbed up and started digging. See, they got down. When Jesus saw their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, son, thou hast forgiven of thy sin. Now wait. The four men that carry him, revelationally, actually, is the four category of man that any destiny need to be carried. Your destiny will stay at a paralytic level if there are no people to partner in your carrying. And the first level of carriers actually are destiny helpers. You see, what those guys do is that they help you. They are the one. They are the help. They offer you the help by themselves. The second set are actually destiny connectors. Destiny connectors cannot help you, but they know those who can. So they connect you with those that can. And most of the places where people used to miss their connection with their destiny connector is at that level of pride. Because you feel, take for instance, we have been ministering here and there, here and there, invite here and there, here and there, that I am very sure that I never knew those people. Obviously, some of you that are seated here, thank you. You are the one making mention of our name where we don't even know. You say, ah, invite these people, they are good for relationship, whatever. Because on Saturday, for example, our Saturday is fully booked. From you, Lauren, we are going to headquarter of something somewhere to go and minister on relationship matters in one day. I did not know any of those people. In fact, the other organization we are going to, they came here to, by themselves with a Lexus. And they say, we have heard about you, we have whatever. Where did they hear? If somebody have not said it. So when you are proud, hope you know, take for instance, there is a project they are about to do and it's going to be in millions somewhere. And they asked me to, that do I know people? And I know two people. But there is another people that I can't know because I can't trust them. Is my credibility I'm throwing at them. That is the same way. Listen to me. In board meetings, my wife already prayed it, that when your names are being mentioned, there are two things where they mention people's name. Number one, for gossip. Number two, for recommendation. Number three, the third one, for prayers. But the people that want to use gossip as a means of talking, they take the element of prayer. They take the part of prayer. Take for instance, especially if you are Christians. You say, have you heard that Pastor Sammy is not in a relationship? You say, I've had to. Let's be praying for him. Oh. Then, why is that I'm seeing with other sisters? You have not started a prayer. You have used 2 hours to talk about him. And then later on, you don't even remember the prayer. And if you do, you just say, God will help him. It's his destiny. And you are there for prayer. Then the angels, they are like this. Please, you say. So, what am I saying in essence? There are destiny helpers. They provide the help themselves. Then, there are destiny connectors. I have examples of destiny connectors. A whole lot of them. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 1. I think I will take that. But the way my time is flying, I don't know why. He said, now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He said he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him, the Lord, that thing gave me concern actually, but don't worry. The Lord had given victory to Aram. He said he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Next verse. But he knew kings. He said, now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. And she served Naaman's wife. Next verse. He said, she said to her mistress, if only my master will see the prophet who is in Samaria. There was nobody, including the king, that knew about this prophet, except that girl. But she was a captive. She was taken. And obviously, the mistress, listen to me. See, if you are not a good person, or if you are not too good in kindness as a man, marry a good person. You see, this is me and my wife. It's me and my wife that you could bought. Eh? Many slave girls will make sure you die of leprosy. Leprosy in this context might be your challenge. They have information. Hope you know that as you are seated and you are doing whatever you need, the challenge you are in is just an information way. Yeah, somebody knows what you can do. Somebody knows the person that can help you. That they will not talk. Because of the way you have been misbehaving. He said, if only my... So, it occurred to me that they took care of this lady very well. That she does not want her master to die. She loved her mistress so much. She had an information alone. He said, he will cure him of his leprosy. And she was talking about Elisha. Next verse. He said, now, Naaman went to his master, you see, and told him what he get from whatever I said. Then the master immediately sent letter. And then when they sent letter to the king, hope you know, when they sent letter to the king of Samaria, including the king of Samaria, did not even know who they are talking about. It was no. He said, well, these are the sacred
Israel started fighting. Then the information reached. Because you know, eagle eyes near Elisha. Eagle eyes. The information got to eagle eyes. He said,
let's stop one, come on, bro.
And then the guy got there and almost lost his miracle again. Because he is Batna, he is Kinikan, not Samaria, he is not better than the Kinikan Kinikan. Then, again, he had another guy in his team. That means every person he had wanted him to be cured, except him. He said, is Kinikan not better than the whatever? And then, one of his servants again, quick. That means that Naaman was a good man. Naaman was a good man.
Okay, you are not catching on time, are you? I've left you since. This is the practical example. It took you seconds to catch up with my living. Glory to God.
He was a good man. Then the guy quickly went to him and said, my father. You see, you are the only one that you are treating all your subordinates anyhow. I hope you know when they expire on the motor, they will be looking at you. But you will have your budget, huh? Yeah, after suffering years, you have said that we should not talk. There's nobody that wants to talk now. That means it was open. Don't worry. What I want to teach you today actually is maximizing relationships. But most times, we have thought in the direction of upline. We have not thought in the direction of downline relationships. Because you are the man of God, you are the one up there. You don't know that there is how you can maximize the relationship you have with your protege. You are always teaching them, honor the pastor. Because most times, the deception most of you have, which is something all of you desire, is that Nigeria have actually sold that narrative to us. Everybody wants to become a senator sometimes to steal money. And now you will know, go to primary school. And tell them, Kini Wafe, say, hey, me, Mofe, the politician. Ah, Kilo De, he say, I'm a Jowo. Ah! How did he know that? It's because a narrative has been sold to him that you can do anything in this nation and go sports free. Just with stealing money. And steal courses. Transgenerational one. So Naaman, his servant went to meet him and said, my father, if the prophet, that means that Naaman understands how to maximize downline relationship. Because all the things that brought the change in his life were downline. And one of his strengths is that he had listening ear. I'm saying this because every one of you at the Building Church are going to become leaders one day. If you are not already. If you don't know how to maximize downline relationship, you're going to have issue. You'll be doing well upline. But there is the blessing. The Bible says there is that which every joint supply. If those relationships don't exist, God will not put them in place. Many of you are enjoying the benefits of upline relationship, but you have left straight line and downline unattended. And if you have 1/3, you still fail. Yes. Because the church have so much stress upline relationship. Maximum upline relationship. When they are talking, you look down. When you are whatever, you move up. Be a help to them, don't be whatever. And then you have forgotten that even you that are preaching it, you are still looking up to somebody that is not in the church. Then the people that are in the church that you are supposed to relate with and also learn. Because most times there is no way to even hear the message of the downline. So everybody is eyeing how to become a pastor. And one day is what is going to be Alpha Omega. And that's why we have to be careful as leaders. Because one thing we do is that we redefine perspective. Yes, as leaders. You have become a ruler now. You'll be doing heights like knife. When you want to come down, seven washers. Then, hope you know, that you are redefining a perspective to onlookers. In somebody's mind somewhere, when you want to start ministry, the first thing to get are seven washers that will carry his Bible. And he did not know the secret ones of prayer. Prayer chain, 24 hours, whatever chain going on for the pastor. He did not know it's not by carrying shoulder pad that your shoulder must really be padded. So there are many narratives that are being sold out there that is redefining perspective. Then some of you are looking for when you are the one that they will come and drop this water for. I have not taken it, but I will take it because of you. Yeah. I'm Pastor Ngadu. And sincerely, I wish it is true. No, I'm telling you. You'll be shocked that most times they just put this water there. We don't even have the time to drink it. We are preaching. All of you are sitting and laughing. I'm the only one walking around. And then you see on his rest the whatever that bear the crown, Abby. What is the name of that adage? Whichever one you understand it to be. Is that people cannot feel your pain for you. Sometimes as a pastor, you are lost in taking care of other people's children. And your child, when he sees you for the first time, I think there was a time like that a lion did not see me for a while. And then when she saw me, she looked at me like that, like, hallelujah. You're like, is your alone on the last day? I had to give myself brain. I remember Kenneth Aiken said in one of his books, he said he was an itinerary minister. He was traveling every time, year and day. He was not always at home. Then one day, his son came to meet him and said, Daddy, why are you not always at home like other people's parents or father? He said, Daddy, he told God he's not going anywhere again. But he has learned to always obey God. As an adult, he said he was driving to the next place he was going to minister and he was crying. Baba Dibu said something that many people did not understand. He said he pitied the next person that will become the general overseer of Redeemed Christian Church of God. And many people did not understand what he's saying. Like I was speaking with somebody yesterday, I said severally, I used to tell my, when I was younger and I have nothing to do with my life, so it seemed, I watch film a lot. So I don't understand if we put TV and our parents will sleep. Me, if I have not slept for 17 years and you're on TV, I will watch it freely. But I just discovered recently. My wife is already laughing. That anytime I'm on TV, I'm not the one that is off it. I'll just on it like this, man. I'm like, this is whatever. She might say, are you sleeping already? I say, I'm not sleeping. I see my eyes. He said, because I've told you, don't on any TV again. I say, this one. And then just later on, when I wake up, I remember I on TV. You see, you're coming down. All these things you are saying about people, enter their shoes. Now, I presume you will beautifully share the story. You see, there are many things you don't understand until you are there. A rich man, you went to visit a rich man. This is not a presumable story here too. You went to visit a rich man, he gave you 10,000. And they say, without rich Pastor Jerry is, it's only 10,000 he gave me. You have forgotten that it's only the 10,000 that is even left that is sent to you. And don't forget, value is measured by what is left after what you have given. Wait, you know yet that. Don't be honest. True value of what was given to you is measured by what is left after the giver gave. It's not by what you think he has. It's by what he has left after he gave what he gave. So, I'll be giving money. How can he be driving Lexus? How can he be driving Lexus and it's not helping us? Ah! No! Who does that? He has money. He's blessed. Imagine, I went to see my pastor. The only thing they could give me in that, I saw Martinelli inside the fridge. They gave me more. Me. Do you know me? I'm the chief usher. They gave me only, I'm telling you, more. And then, do you know the funniest part? No, I'm not angry. I'm just trying to explain to you. Do you know the funniest part? My pastor, that gave me 5,000. That man, he has money. Can he call one up? Please, I get it. Because listen to me, most times we measure rich people by their assets, not what they have at hand. You can be in a rich man's house and sincerely you are richer than him. When it comes to cash flow, you are richer. In fact, you are richer. 100,000, well, I can't say, don't breathe, don't buy fresh air. And then the man is still calculating that, but you see, if a proof that they have gotten you is the unease that enter your life. The unease that enter your life when your account is empty. It doesn't freeze. It doesn't move people that are blessed. Money is the lowest form of value. They can spend other things. They can spend their credibility. So they give you the last, all that they have, they gave it to you because they know that you are needy. They have value. So his account can appear empty, but it's not. I have even forgotten the story I want to share. Okay. So I presume I will share a very beautiful story. That there was a time he left Ilorin to go and minister in a church in Lagos. And that time, you know this, all these neighbors, all these generators, they used to drag like this. That was the only thing they had in CSC then. Then he went to Lagos and saw three mighty generators. Then in his heart, he said, Kai, these are people wasting money. Church, there has got to be love in the body of Christ. How can a church have three gen? And they can't go and give another church. And that time, maybe the member of the church, maybe they were 120 or thereabout. I don't think they have AC because that thing will not carry any of the ACs. That generator will not. So one day he said he was in a study. Then the Holy Spirit said he should move towards the generator house of CSC here. So he moved towards it. The Holy Spirit said, count the number of generators here. And he counted and there were three. Then immediately it was like, he felt like the Holy Spirit said, I don't like when people are wasteful. There are some things you are saying now because that's where you are. That is your level. And then he explained why they had that three generator. There is one 30 kVA, if I remember correctly. They used to run church office. Midweek service. Most times, people, I don't know why people don't come to midweek service a long time, a lot, as they are supposed to. The 150 kVA, they used to run midweek service. Then there is 350 kVA. Is one they used to run the main service, all of the service. If for any reason they are not using any of those chains, as appropriate as it should be, there will be a wasteful ministry. If you go outside, we have 2 gen. Before you say, you two, you have 2 gen outside, they'll explain to us. We have 2. The first one we have there, this building actually is going to 3 floors. When we wanted to buy the first generator I negotiated with them. I said, I want 30 kVA. You could not bring 30 kVA. Apostle, I don't know if he's here. He was one that convinced me that we should buy 110 kVA. He was one that convinced me. I don't know that we have bought in installment diesel that will be consuming. Diesel. You see, by the time that green generator, that's what we're not running into. Nothing happens to it. That big thing that you are seeing there. If you just, you see, That thing that it will do in 1 hour, we will have used it for like 4 hours. Have you been telling me? For like 4 hours of the white one. Tell me how foolish you want us to become more. If we carry the one that is saving money for us to go and dash a ministry and keep the one that is consuming diesel for us. It was when we wanted to start the building church that we went to buy that other white one. Because we know there is midway service. And the truth of the matter is, they are the one that is always doing whatever. Per service that we are running, we are spending in hundreds of thousands for diesel alone. Just to hunt the gen alone. I'm not despising your offering, but remove it from what was used to run the gen. And tell us how more foolish you want us to be if we continue in that pathway. So most times, when you're not in people's shoes, you used to be a consultant. Look at it now. When you are not in a relationship, you are abusing your sister. You say, best, most sukunu. Have the heart of lion. Emi o raye any boy. Should I continue? Emi o raye any boy. Ha! Boy wo. Boy Emi. You now, it's not only boy, you have a chance. Chance for boys for book boy. This is where you are because you thought that you have heart of lion. I used to say that people that have heart of lion, their own portion have not been discovered. They use the rope of the outside to bring it out. But are we getting blessed or blessed? So general relationship is the entry point for every kind of relationship in your life. And it will start at the stranger's level. It will be suggestive that you should even despise the people. The people that can help your life and destiny. You despise them. Take for instance, the Bible was saying in the book of James. It says, if rich people come into your church, you give them big seats. Then when people that are whatever, you ask them to stay outside. At the building church, come the way you are. All of us, God is building us together. You can come the way you are, but you will not remain the way you are. God is going to work on you. So, there is general relationship, there is emotional relationship. Emotional relationship is love at first sight. Only. Yes, only. Only. Love at first sight most times. You know, everybody is beautiful. There is beauty in the eyes of the beholder. And then there is really the gift of beauty. You know they are not the same. There are some people that when God was creating them, it took extra time. Someone like my wife. You know what I'm saying? It was like, Then he created and said, let's send her to the head so that Jerry can focus in ministry. This one, I am not joking, I mean it. I can prove it. When you get to him, ask God. He will tell you it took extra time. I'm telling you. Were you there? So, love at first sight, actually, is because you're a thief. There's a value you saw. So, emotional relationship, actually, is that when you meet the stranger, there's a value you see in the stranger that is making your emotion get attached. That thing, that emotional relationship that you now enter, will not push you to transactional one. So take for instance, you saw a rich man, for example, and you say, I like people generally. You have washed his car. You have done whatever. Take for instance, especially let me help you. Don't trust all those ShopRite security. Hope you know, if I trek to ShopRite now, they will not greet me. Oh, you know, they will not greet me. They will not greet me. In fact, let me tell you a story. There was one day like that. I've been driving my Lexus. I'm gonna drive. All of them salute. Hey, Oga. Hey, whatever. One day, I think they went to go and fix the Lexus, and I got one Camry that I enter. You know, it's these same guys. They were beating the car. And, but that time, they have not known me like this, though. Because even if I enter Kike, they will still know me now. Actually, because we are now good friends. But that time, I was shocked that they were beating the car. Carry this car, come on for it. I'm like, oh, so these guys are transactional. Hope you know that for now, take for instance, I've known a number of them now. So it won't be a good example. But if maybe I go to Lagos and they say, Ogasa, move Ogasa. Go and park the car somewhere and trek back. They say, what did they do this small boy? What did they do you? Wait, I guess, let me tell you, I get like you, someone like you, maybe my younger brother, I get them for house. The Ogasa. Transactional. But it starts from emotional relationship. You see value and you are willing to see. Then you are rendering help, not because you want to help, because there is something in for you to gain. And then there is now seasonal relationship. Seasonal relationship is like this relationship you have now when you are in school. You are not going to be classmates forever. Yes, it's just a season. Then everybody will travel back. And you are not going to serve in the same place most likely. And then after that, everybody go to whatever. That is seasonal relationship. And some of your marital relationship that you think you are is actually seasonal relationship. And then there is destiny or covenant relationship. You see, covenant relationship is within the confines of marriage and within the confines of submission for people that God has put around you. But most times, when a season has entered, when a relationship has entered its expiry state, because let me tell you, you are going to be in a relationship based on three things. Number one, based on seasons. Number two, based on reasons. Number three, based on destiny. The one you enter, if you are treating a relationship you enter based on season with relationship you are supposed to enter based on reason, and then you are not treating the same relationship with the relationship you are going to enter based on destiny, you are going to miss things. Take for instance, hope you know that you having the contact of your cost rep is a seasonal relationship and it has reasons. The information about the cost, whatever, and everything, if you don't have his contact, you will miss test. Yes. You are going to miss important things. They will tell you something, you have to confirm from him. Because he's the one that the lecturer is going to give the information for the class. So there is the season, there is the reason. But in your relationship, you don't need your course mate, your course rep, when you are married. For destiny relationship, you need the Holy Spirit. It's the course rep of your destiny. It's the one that will tell you not to fight with a destiny helper. Not to misbehave because the test is coming from a destiny helper. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't relate with people the same way. You don't. Having established that, let me read this scripture for you guys. It will help you, especially when you have to do with downline relationship. Bless or bless. Holy Spirit, help us. My wife read this already. Matthew 22:34-40. I won't have time to read it again. But just give me verse 40. It's actually talking about the Sadducees. That after Jesus silenced the Sadducees, they came and said there were seven brothers among God, this and that. Then the Pharisees. And they thought it was a difficult question. He said, what is the greatest law? Jesus said, calm down. This is the greatest. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, with all your mind. And then, you know, I said, the second is like unto it. Don't be in it. He said, the second is like unto it. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. But there's something he said in verse 40. He gave me, that is very powerful. He said, all the law and the prophet hang on these two covenants. I think there's a translation that I can't remember what translation it is. Let me see. There's the translation that I was talking about. You see, all the Lord, don't forget, we said that a man is going to fail in his life, either when he fails, when he's dishonorable towards God, towards people, and towards law. Now, the Bible is not saying that law and principles, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What he's saying is that everything that is written in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, all of it, this is what Jesus was talking about. He said all of it is hanging on just two things. Not how to relate with God, not how to relate with men. Yes, that's what he said now. He said, oh, everything, the summary of everything, and let me quickly tell you, you have cheated life if you understand how to relate with men. So much so that including Jesus had to have favor with God and with men. In the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the Bible says, and the child Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and with favor with God and man. With God and man. And do you know the cheat code of that? That was actually found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Proverbs 3. He said, let love and faithfulness never leave you. He said, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Next verse. He said, then you will do what? With who? In the sight of God and men. So that means that there is a law to win the favor of God and men. He called it love and faithfulness. But time will not permit me. Don't worry. Time will not permit me to expand on this love and faithfulness as a key. Because Jesus already summarized it. That love God, love men. He said it will earn you favor with God and men. And then, yeah, the psalmist in Proverbs is not telling us, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Look at what will happen. He said, then you will win. It's like, that means that there is a bad church, Basa people, that means that there is a playing that is ongoing. That you show up in front of an interview and you have won. Ha! You have won favor. You don't get it. He said, then you will win favor. Favor can be won. You can lose favor. Kai, I win favor. He said, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. That is what sum up the law and the prophets. There are two sides, actually. There is the sin from God, and there is the sin from men. We saw that in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, I think verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7. He said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance. That means that men are going to, and that's why, I don't want to go this direction in my time. Yeah, but it will help somebody. Including Samuel, as anointed as Samuel was, he almost anointed Eliab as king over Israel because of his appearance. Appearance here is talking about don't miss tomorrow and next tomorrow. Actually, I'll be teaching on human development and self-discovery. Then we'll pray. But the human development part, actually, I've come to realize hope you know that when God created man in his image, man was actually created first in the image of God. And I'm going to ask us, what is the image of God? Answer me now. Spirit. The image of God is spirit. It's not as if you can carry a form like that and say, this is God now. God is a spirit, and the Bible already established that. Don't be afraid. Say it loud. What is the image of God? So, man was created in the image of God. The intention of God was to create man in his image and his likeness. But in the Genesis 1 framework, what God did was he created a spirit being. And that's why in Genesis 2 framework, what God did was to create a person that can touch something. And that's why in Genesis 2, the Bible said there is no man to till the ground. God, answer me, sir. The man you created in Genesis 1, who was he? That you now say there is no man. Then you will not say that God now began to make man from the material of the earth and breathe man back into man. So man was inside God when he created man, because the material God used to create himself was what he used to create the human spirit. So when God breathed man, when God breathed, God is breathing me. When God formed the man, that thing that God created, that dust, when he created that dust, he now breathed man inside him. The man enter into that framework and that one can touch things. But do you know that after the fall of man, that was when man now took on the nature, the likeness of God. In Genesis 3:21, actually, the Bible showed us that, and that's why the devil actually knew what he was saying when he went to meet man and said, if you eat, you will become like God. It was true. I am not disputing the fact that man was created in the image of God. True. But the intention of God was for man to be created in his image and in his likeness. Now, I want to tell you for free that actually, we, as we are all seated here, if you are born again, you are recreated in the image of God. But the likeness of God is with the fallen man. That is where Elon Musk can have money. Because he has the likeness of God. The likeness of God is the characteristics of God. It's the recreative power of God. Do you know what it means? That after man died, after man fell in the Garden of Eden, God now said, man has become like one of us. But what is going to feed the likeness of man is actually knowledge. But that knowledge can be corrupt. So if an unbeliever knows something you don't know, they will exhibit the likeness of God more than you do. And that's why you know that our parents have told us that it was witchcraft they used to create phone. The materials that was used to create phone was put in place by God. Everyone in the likeness of God can recreate. So we that have the image of God, we left the likeness of God with other people. What an irony. He said, and the Lord said, the man has now become like one of us after his fall. Knowing, that is what makes him. Knowing. The likeness of God is in knowing. The nature of God is the spirit of God is in nature. I cannot see. And you are not seeing it, but you are poor. Because you do not give yourself to knowledge. And you almost don't need to be born again to be in the likeness of God. Because Adam has fallen. He has fallen. And God said it by himself that man has now become like us. Then the fallen man began to create things. Because he was created in the likeness of God. So much so that when he got to Genesis 11, even God was like, hey! That is the fallen man. They now began to imagine things. Do you know that these guys wanted to build to hope? You know, if it's not possible, God will say, what it implies is that there is nothing impossible for man after man was created in the likeness of God. That these guys, they just said, let us build ourselves a city with a tower reaching heaven. And God, the Bible says, And do you know what? These guys were falling. They were falling. The likeness of God is what they used to create this AC. Don't worry. Come for the word and prayer retreat. Time meet at Ilo. But are we blessed or blessed? How did we even get here? What are we saying? First Samuel. So what the people of the earth are doing, like my wife gave us that scripture, is it Luke 17 or Luke 16 the other time? about the wicked guy. And the true servant, I think Luke 16 or 17. Jesus was showing us, they said for Samuel, it's for Samuel now, we have left this place, for Samuel. For Samuel 16, verse 7. Jesus was showing us, but in that Luke 6, is it Luke 16? Luke 16 from verse 1. In that first Luke 16, the Bible was showing us a man that Jesus said that he is wise because he knows how to deal freely with the people of the world. What that First Samuel is telling us, 1 Samuel 16, 7, just stay in 1 Samuel 16, 7 please, because of time. What that 1 Samuel 16, 7 is telling us is that Samuel is a man. Favor can be won by appearance and height. He said, for I have rejected him. He said, the Lord does not look at the things man look at. That now helped me. It helped me. If the Lord is looking at something, a man is not looking at that thing. That means to win the favor of God is not the same law you apply to win the favor of men. Because we are not seeing from the same angle. So some of you are looking for favor with men and you are applying the principle of the favor with God. And you say you are suffering. Oh, Tiberio. Because the people of the world, MTN, all these guys, festive season now, they will tell you they are doing promo. You say, that's why I like MTN. That's why I like GT Bank. That's why I like whatever. You have developed a like for them. You have developed a loyalty for them because they know the law of appearance. Item 7, know the law of appearance. He went to Sango. And he did not do his design in Sango as Sango is supposed to be. I know people that will go there on their birthday to snap, but they will not buy food. It's the law of appearance. You are the only one that is tucked away mat you are carrying around because you are fasting. Your mat is not smelling to God, but it's smelling to us. You are the one that they say you are going to marry Pastor Sammy. Please be seated. And you are not dressing like somebody that is going Pastor Sammy's direction. He now asks, do you go my way? He says, no. Esther did not use oil, did not use anything when she was trained with Mordecai. But when she wanted to appear before king, kings don't see nonsense. No matter how beautiful you are, you must be refined. Hope you know. MSG actually showed us that Esther was a woman with form. But the form will have been deformed if there is no information. So what Esther did was to start bathing with oil. Hope you know that if they say you are black, you are not black. The people will change your... Hope you know now, their colors now have description. There is cockroach brown. There is cartoon yellow. There is whatever. So they will not say that you are angelic black. Melanie, hope you know that there are some kind of oil that if they touch you, even you will not believe your skin. Your Reverend Sam that was sharing jokingly that one of his friends, he has never slept in AC before. Mosquito everywhere. He doesn't even have fun. So he used to tell people that demons used to come and torment him. That it was demon. Then for the first time when he was subjected to good AC, he slept and forgot time. Then the demons left all of a sudden. There are things that kings see. And it's not all kind of oil. There is choice oil. That was what she was subjecting herself to, just to come and see the king. If you see Esther chapter 2, I think verse 9 or verse 14, I can't remember where. He said, when the king saw her, from a village girl, why can't she be praying to her God, that God, let me appear in this way to the king? The king does not even know God. But he knows her appearance. I just need to show up. That's why severally when they say, the man will not give anything, the man will not give, because following favor is sight. Especially when you have to do with men. You say, in the sight of. I say, just let me show up. And then you are not going to be showing up and you are not going to appear and speak the language that kings understand. You are not speaking in tongues. Kapuku, kapuku. Whoa! Kapuku loma. He said, now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women. There was nothing written on her. He just screamed. Good oil. Ah! That if they touch your skin, it will be like water. Appearance. So God does not look at appearance. He look at the heart. But you're not going to be walking with your heart split. You say, oh, look at my heart now. Worry. I love you. No. It's the law of appearance. Somebody say law of appearance. Ah, my time is fast spent. Let me read Luke chapter. Don't worry, maybe tomorrow I'll continue. Since when we still have tomorrow, I will just continue tomorrow on some of these things I want to say because I want us to pray. Luke. Was it a good way to end this? Maximizing relationship. Luke chapter 7 from verse 1 to 10. Very quickly. And I think I need verse 10 in Amplified. Time with the flyer. Where are Luke? Let's look at Luke now. I know, Mr. Tipe, he like rhymes. Okay, I think verse 2 in Amplify. But let's read down. Please, sister, sir. Now, can we read together? When Jesus had finished saying all of this in hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum next verse. He said, now a centurion had a bond servant who was held in honor. You see, all the kind of relationship I will have tried to tell you, upline, straight line, and down line, all of it is in this look. He said, now a centurion had a bond servant who was held in honor. You are the only one that you have been looking for how you'll be abusing people when you climb ladder of power. This is servant is you see, I've often said some people that they are one man army. One of those one man army, Mr. Sam. One man army. Another one man army that I know, one woman army is Wonder. Ah! You just need to imagine it. Wonder we execute it. One man army, pastor me, and one man army, all of you. Before you say, I did not mention my name. All of you. It's because of time. But if you want me to, why not? Let's just know that we are going to close by 11. One man army. That was what this bond servant. Have you known what? When you read Bible, do you just read it? What? Now, when the man was reading if you read it down, the man said, I have so many soldiers under me. What now stood this one out? So much so that he can't bear, he could not allow it for the guy to die. Give it to me in Amplify. Okay, no. Give me this in Amplify. You will see now. Very quickly. Time will go saying fly in church. Saying, yeah, just time in church. Please, can we read this together? Now a centurion had a who was an highly valued. You are the one that thinks that being valuable is that they are using you. If you are not being useful, wait. If you are not being usable, you will be useless. Wait. If you are not being usable, you will be useless. But being usable is not enough. You must be useful. You must be valuable. That when you say you are living a system, they will look for an alternative to say, don't go. If it's within the confine of what can be adjusted. You need to understand that men are not dumb. Men are not fools. Men are not fools. They don't separate with people that are valuable to them like that. They don't allow people that are valuable to them to go like that. Now, wait. I'm not in church. It's not completely true. What I'm saying is not complete. I'm talking about it because before now, you know, I say, well, I told them that I'm going. They know just asked me to wait. That's what I'm saying. Is that for church kind of setting, destiny and other things can be put into consideration to allow you go. If you are valued, take for instance, if your parent asks you to come home, there's nothing I can do. I'm not your parent. I did not give birth to you. And when it comes to honor, I think you should honor your parents first than your spiritual parents. There's nothing I can do. I can't gang up against you. I can't gang up with you. I can't team up with you against your parents. When the tie is torn, you will team up with your parents against me. It's a training, huh? If I have trained you like that, that means that your time is coming. He said, oh, the person is on Coco. He said, ah, bonus him. So you cannot, I cannot be sitting in a meeting and you are talking ill of your parents and I'll keep quiet. I will not care. I said, no, you can't say that about your mom. You don't understand that. Because when the tie is torn too, that's how you will have to say, oh, the person will keep paying back. Because when the pastor was there to correct you, he did not. He validated that. So how can this... So most times there are circumstances that may permit for you to leave. That we will not even stop it. It will pain us, but we know family will be family. It will pain us, but we know that destiny calling you. It will be wickedness on my part, for example. If for any reason God call any of you because you are serving us, it is wickedness. Because you are serving us, I should not tie you down. I say you can't leave. And you will stay here. If you go cause a doubt among the nations, what is that? So that's why I say within the confines of church, it might not be 100% true that when people leave, you not say, but you will still feel a part of you that still want them around. But notwithstanding, as a leader, you can't show it. Because if you go and trade emotionally with them, they will not want to go and do what God wants them to do. So you pretend as if it's not paying you. Then the thing will not pain the person anymore that of all the things I did, it not even pain them. I'm even going. But it's paining us too. But we can't show you that it's paining us. So that you will not allow your emotion to get involved. Anytime any person comes to me and they have to do with anything that I have to do with them, I say, the first thing, make sure your emotion is not involved. If you get your emotion involved, you are not going to be emotional. You see, it's just doing your hey, that is a line time to be going. Alright. Let's pray. Let's be on our feet. Okay, I'll continue. Time has gone. 1 Samuel 18:5. Give it to me in KJV. Please give it to me in KJV. 1 Samuel 18:5. Don't forget, I say you have to be valuable, right? He said the centurion is someone of his servants. He could not wait for the guy to die. He could not. 1 Samuel. Please, can we read this together? And David went out whatsoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight. Ha! That when they choose you as leader over something, everybody say yes, he's the one. Because both upline, downline, and straight line, you relate with them accordingly. He was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Then verse 30 very quickly. He said, then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass, after they went forth, David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was more set by. God. And don't forget, we say where your name is mentioned, it can be for gossip, it can be for recommendation. But from now, your name will be mentioned where it matters. But one thing you need to do is to behave yourself wisely. Is to be valuable. I need you to pray for yourself. That Father, is there any way I have been misusing upline, straight line, and downline relationship? Father, help me to behave myself wisely. I turn a lily today. Is that you are going to pray for yourself? I think you can do better than what you are doing now. Pray. I behave myself wisely. I maximize every form of relationship. Some of you is only straight line you are good at. Some of you is only down line. Some of you is only up line. But you need all the combination of all this relationship for your life to be more meaningful. The way you are praying, I'm suspecting you.
Is this the building church? Your relationship will have to be correct upline. It will have to be correct straight line. It will have to be correct down line. I, Jeremiah James, I behave myself wisely, and I'm accepted in the sight of all the people. In the sight of all the people, give me verse 5. Ayanama Kemboro Sakamanakai. I, Jeremiah James, I go about as the King of Glory has sent me. I behave myself wisely, and I'm set above, and I am accepted in the sight of all the people. Is that your praying? There is no place I enter that will not be accepted. Shakatela Baranako Sakimale Benakala Kimosa Rabada Bada Bada Bana Manakai. Hey, Rando Dodo Bo Shako Maramana Mekade Eketom Baramana Makatinose. You can do better than where you are doing.
So sorry because of the time. Numbers chapter 27, verse 20. KJV translation. I'm just saying this to introduce what is going to happen on Sunday. Sunday is going to be worship and impartation service. Because honor can be conferred on people. And he said, and thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him. He said, the Lord thy God has brought it for me speedily. I'm praying for everyone that is the sound of my voice. Wherever you have been rejected, from this moment, lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory will come in. And seated upon all these people that are hearing my voice is the King of Glory. That means that doors are open before you. The Bible says David behaved himself wisely, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. Up line, down line, straight line. In the name of Jesus, I say you'll be accepted in the sight of all the people. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 47. He said, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. All the people is all the people. I say you are going to be enjoying the favor of all the people. That your amen, standing on one leg, go. I say you will be enjoying the favor of all the people. Honor is upon you. your name from this moment will be mentioned where it matters. Your name is not marked for gossip. I say it's mentioned where it matters the most. You are blessed. Oh. You are lifted. In Jesus' mighty name, I will pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is the Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious Service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at the Building Church behind Becadim's Tanke Okiodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at the Building Church. Stay blessed.